This is a previously recorded episode.
Hey. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to An Elegant Weapon, episode 200.
100.
This is JJ. I'm Clark the Jedi Ross. So cool to be back here with you, kids again. 200 episodes. Here we are live from Motor City Comic-Con. This is so exciting. I'm sitting with a few friends and guests. I got the other Derek and Tony here from Drunk on Comics this weekend, also celebrating their 200th episode.
And
kids, we're making it special. We're doing it up with another cross-pod action because episode 200 of An Elegant Weapon is actually episode 43 of the Ninja Starship podcast as well. Jimmy, how are you doing?
Fantastic. Happy to be here. Wonderful to be here. It's amazing to be here.
Tony, Derek, how you guys doing?
Amazing. A little tired,
same,
but holding strong.
Wonderful to be here, yes. As much enthusiasm as Jimmy has.
And something bringing it full circle this week, kids. Go way back to the archives when I was a little itty-bitty podcaster in my basement with an iPhone. Episode 25 of An Elegant Weapon featured a wonderful guest who was so nice and willing to come on. He's here today after also returning on the 100th episode, third time's a charm, milestone guest, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Michael Zapsik. How are you, sir?
How the fuck did I get here? What's going on? All of a sudden, I'm over in my booth, and someone throws a bag over my head, and I wind up in front of a podcasting setup. What's going on?
That's how we roll. We call it Gorilla Pod, man.
All right. Well,
that's Detroit style.
Take the bull by the horns.
Awesome. I'm so happy to be back. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, sir. The show basically exists because you gave me the confidence to keep going, so... You know, you showed me it was possible.
Everyone out there is like, you fucking asshole.
Thanks, Zapsik.
You scumbag,
I'm
Zapsik.
I'm
going
to deal with this ass all week. Stupid Canadian podcasters. Also, returning to the show after a wonderful chat at C2E2, ladies and gentlemen, the merciless one, Ming Chen. How are you?
What's going on, everybody? Honored to be here for number 200. Huge milestone.
It's really cool. It's been about 5 years, like I've said many times this weekend, in the basement with a buddy hitting record on the iPhone. Here we are 5 years later, 200 episodes. It's led to so much fun stuff over the years. It's incredible. I've got to talk to so many cool people because of this. I never, ever thought I would. Just some quick highlights of guests that I've been so honored to speak to. Mr. John Ostrander was one of my most favorite episodes I've ever done. Ray Park's coming up soon. That's something we got special. I've been waiting to do that for a long time. Mr. Mark McKenna has always been a wonderful friend of the show. Just an amazing, amazing guy. And all the indies. There's too many to list, but all the guys, through the years, thank you. I get a lot of thanks for my support of the indie scene and this, and that, but I'd have no one to talk to if it wasn't for them. You know, so it's amazing. How is it for you guys being on the level that you're at now, being able to help the little guy like this?
We were the little guy. Actually, I don't think that we would have the audience that we do if it weren't for, Kevin Smith, one of the big three, as you guys call him, him, Hardwick, and Carolla. He paved the way for us, and he gave Ming and me, a channel for our anger. So I think that's pretty cool. Yeah. You know what? You got to call this one the chromium cover.
Yes, totally. This is the chromium cover.
Number 200, the chromium cover.
Because the show, I was a fan of I Sell Comics, and that's
how
I got to know you. And listening to you on that is why I was so interested to have you as a guest. And then right around that time, two crazy things happen in your life. A, you get a TV show.
Yeah.
B, you get the shit knocked out of you by Sandy.
Yeah.
What a strange situation as far as Even Stevens, eh?
Yeah, like, it was really, really weird, right?
Yeah, it's, yeah.
I am Even Steven. That's how it goes.
Like, kind of
one step forward, one step back. Why the hell not? But you can't let it get you down. You got to keep going. And podcasting actually saved my sanity during that time because I was just like, trying to hold it all in, and, then it's like, fuck everybody. Let me just scream at some people. So,
I remember the day, literally the day after the hurricane hit, we were back in the comic book store talking about it.
Yeah.
And, I just wanted to make sure you were okay and everything was okay. And
thank God we were on the same grid as the hospital, so we had electricity. It was great.
Yeah, everything else, no one else had power except we did. It's like, well, what do we do now? Let's record a pod.
Yeah, why not?
All right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you notoriously lost a lot of comics.
Yeah, I lost... about 95% of my collection. So, But you know what? The really cool thing is, and nobody was hurt. You know, all
but,
the
I mean, how was the
safe.
Outpouring support is actually, like, people, I saw so many people offering to help you rebuild that collection.
It was pretty humbling. You know, you got people who are like, hey, I'll send you my comics from Nevada. Like, dude, don't do that. And the thing still stands. You know what? If you want to help out me, help out everybody else. Go donate your comics to a local library. Get the kids into it.
Absolutely.
Me, I can find my own comics, but there are some kids out there who could probably use the diversion.
Right, have you started recollecting for the collection? Or?
Oh, my God, yeah. It's insane. It's like I've upgraded to – I started going on to Omnibuy. You know, I've got like over 100 Omnibus.
Wow.
I never know what the plural of someone tell me. It's Omnibuy, Omnibuses.
This is the classiest your collection has ever been.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Seriously, you know, you should go into my comic library, you know, with your snifter of brandy and a cigar and your smoking jacket. Oh, Muffy, I'm going to be retiring to the library.
Yes, I've got some superheroes to engage.
I've
got
to peruse the old New Teen Titans.
Well, I hear a lot because you were mentioning on one of the 80,000 recordings we've done this week.
Yes.
How when you work in a comic shop, you tend not to collect as much because it's all kind of there and you can read it.
Nah, he's just a cheap bastard.
I am, but, you know, I'm there for the stories. So once I read the stories, you know what? Let someone else buy them and enjoy them.
Right.
I don't have a lot of room anymore.
Ming doesn't have the collector mentality that, you know, a lot of us do. It's like, I have to have that.
Yeah. But you're such a huge toy guy, G.I. Joe-wise and stuff,
too.
Do you collect the toys?
I still collect the toys if I have something that I used to own that I blew up with a firecracker at one point or melted down in an inferno. I'll get it back.
Nice.
But, you know, I gotta get it for the right price.
Well, you guys kind of threw me off on do you remember the episode I was talking to you about this, the Hulk set? That came on the show with the wristbands.
The utility belt? Yeah.
The Hulk utility belt.
I got pictures of my third birthday. I got that.
Why?
And my parents gave it to me.
Why?
I was three years old, Mike.
I know, but still, it's like, oh, my God, let's see what we can get him that's... I realized back in the day, our parents were button-down people who still fucking wore hats. I mean, really, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, no offense, but we're all wearing it. Almost everyone's wearing a hat here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they wore the fedoras and went
proper.
To smoke three packs of Luckies and, you know, went to a soul-crushing job. These days, we don't really have that mindset. But comics back then were written by dudes who were the three, you know, the button-down, three-piece suit guys.
Yeah.
And they went into work and you're like, oh, these comic books are really horrible because it was, you know, mostly DC that did it. But
But
our parents didn't. I had a point. Our parents weren't really in tune with what we liked.
Right.
So for you to get the Hulk utility belt, which makes no fucking sense whatsoever.
The product itself makes no sense whatsoever.
Why
had a communicator and stuff.
Yeah. The gamma voice changer.
And it had a belt. Why does the hell Hulk need a belt?
The dude rips out of those.
But that's one of the greatest things.
Doesn't have any money.
Right.
It's one of the greatest things about the show, despite, you know, the product itself, is just instantly I'm taken back to being three.
Sure.
Like, I haven't laid eyes on that thing since I was three. And to see it walk into the store unopened just takes you back, you know?
And it's awesome that your parents gave you this thing that you could probably hang yourself with at three, especially. Any number of ways you could end up dead, and why not?
Yeah, totally. So, renewed for yet another season.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's exciting. Anything you can tell us coming, or...?
Usually we get together and, you know, maybe brainstorm about things we'd like to happen or things we'd like to see, but... you know, more hilarity, more action, more
Ming and me getting our asses beat and, you know, completely shit on by
the
Brian
wedding is still one of the most classic episodes.
I try to forget about that. Not my proudest moment. I thought I looked good in white. I thought I looked good in a blonde.
Wonderful, Mr. Fantastic, Mike. You know, it was great.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you know what that was actually Rob Bruce's wetsuit that I actually borrowed. It's kind of gross that I think that he probably peed in that.
Oh my God!
Did you get crabs?
Did I get crabs? No, because then Rob would have to have crabs, and that would be proof
Rob
that he had
crabs.
Sex. So thank you.
I was talking to Rob at Philly when we were just at the Great Philadelphia Comic Con.
Sure, what happened? You lose
a bet? He was on the show. Oh, I got my lecture, you know. He told me what's what, but he... it was really cool. I didn't realize how involved he was in the show. I didn't know he was an EP.
No.
He said an EP, an executive producer.
No, not even close. Publicly. No, not quite.
I think
there.
They gave him the name producer, so he wouldn't ask for money.
Yeah, don't believe everything Rob Bruce tells you.
All right,
I'm an executive producer.
Because I sat down with him and I said, "Okay, I get it. You collect toys. You know pulp culture. But why is this shit so weird? Like, you got the weirdest little." Like toys that no one's ever heard of. And I don't know, he was explaining it to me, but just even what he does is so weird.
Yeah.
Does that, I can't even explain it more than that.
He's
just
that
a
guy,
weird fellow.
It is, but
he's a good fellow. Not in a negative way.
He's like, I could go to a state sale.
Well, I say it in a negative way. Oh my God.
You're close enough, you can do that.
He's that guy who can make a living out of other people's junk. And he's got that talent. He can pick out the gems.
He is a living embodiment of the Fred Sanford effect.
Nice.
If you throw enough shit into your front yard, people will actually be like, I wonder what's in there.
It's a good way to go about things, I guess. You never know what treasures you're going to discover, you know. So listen, I don't want to keep you guys too long because I know you got fans at the table. Unless you want to chill, it's up to you. I'm giving you an out right now if you want to take the out. You're going to take the out, Mike?
Give us another 5 minutes.
Yeah, give us another 5 minutes.
Yeah,
yeah. What are you giving us a bum rush for?
You kick me out? What is this?
Right on. Just trying to keep things happy, okay?
Yeah,
I like people
like
want to come back, but they will. You
want
to jump in here at all, Jimmy, being episode 43 of the Ninja Starship podcast?
Well, it is nothing near the milestone of the 200s, but, you know, I'm chugging along. And I mean, I got these guys. I got you guys. It's pretty amazing as it is.
Yeah. Well, as we said to these guys, you guys were nice enough to join us at the podcasting panel yesterday. That was a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And you were birthed out of that podcast panel last
year. I was.
I remember you sitting in the third row just wide-eyed and smiley, like, I'm going to do this.
I'm
going to podcast.
I don't want to imagine Jimmy being birthed out of anything. Let alone a podcast.
One of those anal breech births, huh?
even deeper than that, I Sell Comics was one of the first podcasts that I ever listened to.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
And I remember the exact moment I decided that I can do this because I was listening to you guys working second shift, sweeping the shop floor, and I'm like, listen to how much fun this can be. I'm like, I know I can do this for sure. That got me here, which then got me here.
Yeah. So now you're sitting at the big boys table.
Yeah,
the grown-up table.
It's kind of cool how everything kind of just goes full circle like that. So it wasn't weird.
It wasn't like, these guys are awful. I could do way better than this.
No, it's like this.
Because that's also inspiration, and if that's how it happened, so be it.
Oh, yeah, it was. It's changed my life.
And not 100%. Just getting in a pod with you guys. We get to call you label mates now.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? With the D and everything. It's fantastic, you know? And I still, I'll publicly on episode 200 thank Bob and Dave for letting my little podcast all the way from Toronto be part of Podcast Detroit. So thank you guys. It's so great to be part of the team. And also I'm going to give a quick shout out to the Points of Interest Podcast Network, my friends and tight family for years. We've been running together, Josh and everybody. I love you all. So, as far as the show, how long is a shooting schedule? Like, how long do you shoot for?
We shoot 5 days a week, sometimes on the weekends, but for 2.5 months.
2.5 months?
Yeah, July to September.
That's all right. And how far ahead of release do you got? Like, when do you start filming season 6?
Oh, we're going to be filming July to September, and then October's first one comes out, so...
So it's finished right before any episode airs.
They're editing while we're shooting, so yep.
I know you guys are doing this, you kind of do it on your own, but is there any expected, like, press tours that you got to do for the show, or
I'm sorry,
like
expected
that?
What?
Do they expect you to do any specific press tours or anything for the show?
No, they don't. They don't do press stuff for us a lot, because we're not... They already have their big guns at the Walking Dead and Better Call Saul, so they got some name actors, and you got, four jerk-offs and Kevin Smith, so they don't need us.
Yeah, if you
road trip to Red Bank.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing in July.
Oh, yeah.
Road trip to Red Bank. We'll get you in the background.
Yeah, if you follow us around online, you see we're at a con, like, almost every weekend.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of our organic press tour.
Yeah, this is us actually taking it upon ourselves to get the word out about Comic Book Men. We've had some people come up and say, never seen your show, but you guys look like you're having fun. And
really?
We're like, yeah.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
It's after The Walking Dead. How do you not see it?
I know.
Like, how do you miss it?
It's a mandatory watch, I'm just saying.
Yeah. A lot of people are like, yeah, screw this noise. Yeah. Ah, Hardwick was fine this week. Let's go to bed. You know?
Right.
Was it a hard decision for you guys to do the show?
No.
It was a no-brainer.
No. Yeah. You want to be on TV?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Walt
how long
had
do I have to think about
it, right?
What's the matter?
Walt had issues with it, did he not?
Walt had huge issues with it, but right. I mean, he's friends with Kevin. Kevin wanted it. Walt's like, all right.
Yeah. He is a friend, but do you get the pressure that you can't say no to Kevin? Or is it a debate? Or are you still
let's put it this way. If it's Walt or Brian, they can. If it's Bing or me, we're like, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you've known him, what, 20 years now 20 since
years.
He picked you up for doing
years.
The website?
I don't think I've ever said no to him. So.
Yeah, you don't want to say no to Kevin.
Right. How long have you known Kevin?
I've actually known Kevin for about 15 years since I started working at the shop. Actually, I'd met him a couple times before that, but, I mean, it's like Kevin meets a million people a week. So
Sure. How'd you get your knowledge? Is it just from sitting in the shop reading and you retain all that?
Or? I don't know. There's no reading at the shop. No, we work at the shop.
No, I mean from like back in the day, because you're known for, you know, you got a pretty encyclopedic knowledge of like comic book history.
Just retentive memory for like shit that'll never be relevant for anything other than this specific thing.
Right.
That's exactly what it is. For, you know, I can't remember my anniversary, but I can remember. Nah, it's not true. I remember.
But has it been like since you've been reading kids like comics since you were a kid, like
absolutely.
A child?
Yeah. And I would just pick up on the minutia, the stuff that they throw in there. Because I don't know if you guys remember, but back in the late 70s, early 80s, when Jim Shooter was running Marvel, he would throw in little things, like little. That's where I guess they got Easter eggs or the concept of it. And they would like the fact that Magneto was Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver's father. Was because of John Byrne having that idea, and it was in X-Men 125 and I think the Avengers 86.
Okay.
You know, their origin, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. So
right.
But if you put the two of those books together, you're like, wait a minute, Magneto is their father.
Right, yeah.
So not a lot of people picked up on that.
Yeah, it was just kind of subtle.
Very subtle. So when you start picking up on stuff like that, it gets you excited, and you start like... Like,
well, it was fun how they treated it subtly in Days of Future Past, you know? Like, he didn't flat out say, my mom dated a guy who could do that.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like they're going to address it more in the new one from the trailer. But are you a fan of the X-Men movies?
They're okay.
Yeah.
I'm not as big as the Avengers, but, I mean, when the first X-Men came out, I was like, that was all right.
Right.
I mean, Wolverine, in the comics, Wolverine was an ugly motherfucker who was like 5'4".
Yeah, it was my height.
Yeah, it was your height.
And I ain't tall by any
And
means.
You're just thinking to yourself, man, he's way too pretty to be Wolverine, right?
Yeah.
Because he's
pretty. You know what I always pictured? A young Harvey Keitel.
Or how about a middle-aged Danny DeVito?
Yeah, Danny DeVito.
Joe Pesci. Man. I said that yesterday.
Yeah, seriously. Because all three of those guys are like really butt ugly. I mean, when you think about it, Harvey Keitel is probably going to come over to my house and kick my ass, but he's not really an attractive man.
He does listen.
He's
so
got presence.
Yeah.
You know, he's got that, like one of those chiseled faces, but you're looking at him, you're like, ew.
Nice. Yeah. I'm going to take advantage of having you guys here to embarrass the hell out of somebody I know not embarrassed, but he's about to get giddy. You and I spoke of him yesterday. I don't know if you've had a chance to read the book yet, but a very good friend of the show, artist Kevin Joseph of the book Tart.
Yes.
Was so excited when he met you guys at a show and, you know, gave you guys the book. I heard about that for a while.
Yeah.
He was so giddy. So I just want to publicly have you guys mention Tart right now.
Yeah,
Tart was a great book.
Tart is amazing.
I read it.
It was very, very well done.
It's one of my favorites. It's very unique. It's got an original like take to it, you know? It's so you did enjoy it.
Yeah, and visually it's great. Ludovic Salé, is that the artist's name? I'm in love with the main character. Like my heart gets a little... beats a little faster reading through that book. So
yeah,
it's a great story. Too.
Holy crap! Are you like dating this book now?
I if I could, I would, Mike.
All right.
If it's legal to date a comic book, it would be Tart.
I think your wife would have something to say about that. But hey, whatever goes on between you guys, that's fine.
Yeah. Are you guys doing Niagara Falls?
We are not in Niagara Falls this year.
We were not invited to Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls. Me and Jimmy are going to be there. We'll make sure that the recompense comes for that because that's absolutely. When are we going to get you up to Canada?
We've been to Canada a couple times.
What have you done in Canada?
We were up at Cape.
Okay.
We were at Niagara.
Cornwall. We were up in Cornwall. Ontario.
Yeah, at Cape Cornwall area culture expo.
There's
up and coming show. They just completed their second year. Great show. And we should all go next year.
You see, the thing is, in Toronto, it's hard because we are spoiled. There's so much art, culture, education, opportunity, and schools. I can name you six comic shops within a half hour of my house. Like, I think people forget how spoiled we are. In Ontario alone, Dave Finch, Jason Fabok, Ty Templeton, Ramon Perez, like, it just goes on and on. And it's an amazing thing. So it can get kermuddled, but it'd be great to have you guys up the Fan Expo sometime.
Did you just say kermuddled?
I did. I don't even
That's
know.
That's awesome.
I make up words sometimes.
It's a great fucking word.
They just kind of come
I'm going to borrow it. Yeah.
You just toadied a word.
I toadied a word. I totally did.
Yeah, Fan Expo and Forma, are you listening? Mike and I would love to come up.
Good. We'll make it official. It's such a beast, you know. Yeah, I haven't been to San Diego or New York, but Fan Expo, just, you know, having that as your hometown con is... It's just insane, you know.
Jay, have you been to any of the other cons that they were saying they've been to in Canada? Because you were almost like, have you ever been to Canada?
That's why I went into that, there's a con every weekend. That's why I went into that. That was my point, was that, like, literally, I can't keep track of them all, you know. There's Con Guelph, Guelph Con, Hamilton Comic Con, GTA Con, like, TCAF was just this weekend. I don't know if you're familiar with the Toronto Comic Arts Festival. It's at the Toronto Reference Library, and comic artists only... Independent artists only, no trademark prints. Like, you can't bring, like, you know, your superheroes and stuff. It's got to be your original work.
I guess everyone up there is afraid of Buzz, huh?
Well, it's free.
Okay.
It's also a free event, so anybody can just come in. And they're trying to keep it low-key and classy, kind of. They don't want it to turn into, like, a big Comic-Con event. So I've got to miss it every year because I like coming here.
Yep.
But, you know, it's a really neat event that there's so much different varied things to do in Toronto, was my point. So
we'll see you up there.
We got to get you guys
up
here.
We'll see you up there.
Yeah, it's good times. So what's been your favorite points of the weekend? Just hanging out, meeting people?
We went to Greektown last night with Katrina Law and Ivy Doom Kitty. That was a lot of fun.
Nice.
Ming's got a friend, Ed, who's wandering around here someplace. And, we all went out to dinner. It was a lot of fun.
Very good.
It's just great being back here. I grew up 30 minutes away in Hanover, Michigan.
Boy. Yeah, yeah.
Graduated from the University of Michigan.
Right.
And Motor City Comic Con was one of the first Comic Cons I ever went to.
Wanted by the Michigan police.
Yeah.
You know, I
mean, yeah, but the last time I was at a Motor City was 20 years ago.
Wow.
So I came, it was a lot smaller than this. It was not this big, shall we say.
Yeah.
Weren't that many media guests. The biggest guest that year was James O'Barr. From the Crow.
Right. It was interesting when he was here last year. It was either last year or the year before. I went down for breakfast and he had like a half eaten plate of eggs in front of him on the table. And his chair was like pushed out like 5 feet from the table and he was just like literally like mouth agape, just staring into nothing. And I'm sitting there eating my breakfast thinking, what's going through that guy's brain right now? Imagine you have a window in James O'Barr's brain. Yeah, sorry?
Mostly bugs.
Yeah, I mean, you read The Crow. Probably some very dark thoughts going on there.
I just want to point this out. Can I just state that Bob back there is looking... You're out Paul Sorvino or Paul Sorvino. You look phenomenal today. He's got the tuxedo shirt on with the velvet jacket.
Wine color.
Yes. It's Cabernet-colored velvet jacket. You are just looking oh-so-Godfather-esque.
Make up for the lack of this.
It's fantastic. No, you look fantastic, sir.
Cheers.
Have you guys had the chance to meet Ty Templeton?
No.
No, really?
Is he right behind me?
Not today, no. He's at TCAF, actually, probably. He's got an event coming up in Guelph very soon. It's an evening with Denny O'Neill.
Okay.
And it's Ty Templeton and Denny O'Neill just chalking on the couch out in Guelph. And I got to score some tickets for that because that's going to be fantastic. But I just thought maybe because of his involvement with Batman 66.
Right.
And I had a chance to sit down and talk to him about that. And he couldn't say nicer things about Ralph. And
Ralph Garman?
Yeah.
Ralph Garman's
one of my heroes. Tell me about
God.
Ralph. Let's hear some Ralph talk.
Oh, yeah, I am one of Ralph's biggest fans. Yeah. I love Ralph. First time I ever met Ralph, we were going up to see a Hollywood Babylon at the Gotham Comedy Club in New York City. And Brian Johnson, his girlfriend, some friends of ours, and I, we went out to dinner first, and then we were walking over, and he's outside smoking a cigarette, and the procession comes up, and Brian's like, "Hey, Ralph," and gives him a hug, and I'm like, I was starstruck. I'm like, "Oh my God, that's Ralph Garman." And through the line, and he comes, I went up to him and said, "Hi, I'm Mike." And he's like, "I know who the fuck you are." I'm like, "Oh my God." He's like, "Yeah, I love your stuff."
He said it just like that too.
Yeah.
Didn't he? I know who the fuck you are.
Yeah. I was like, "Oh my God, Ralph Garman knows who I am." Yeah. Holy crap.
That's super cool. Man, you know, some of those Mondays when Hollywood Babylon doesn't come out, I'm so sad. Like, literally, I feel like my whole week's been shot.
Yeah, of course.
My all-time favorite podcast.
So it's like
unbelievably
a drug,
brilliant.
It's
it
like
is.
A drug.
It
you
is.
You don't get it.
Yeah.
You can't function.
Well, the 200th episode was in Toronto, and my beautiful wife here was kind enough to get me tickets for my birthday.
Yeah.
And what
nice.
What an event. I mean, to see it live, you hear it every week, but when you're there live, it's cool times. Let me get your perspective, guys, because, you know, as you've been growing, you know, what's it like to be sitting here talking to these guys, you know?
It's kind of humbling, actually.
Is it?
It's pretty
yeah.
awesome.
Why? Humbling?
These guys are mainly just sitting around with their friends and talk
yeah,
comic books. They're not really interviewers, so it's got to be trippy.
It's no, super...
Okay, you can take humbling. I just feel more... No offense, but we're all podcasts. We're all
yep.
sitting at the same
yeah,
table.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah.
We are all at the same table
yep.
eating the same meal. Like
we're all eating off the same corpse.
Yeah.
That's you, the listener.
No, yeah. I would say, though, because Derek here is new to my podcast within the last year,
yeah.
even that. But having done it for multiple years, I would say at first, yeah, I would be scared as shit being here with you guys, being like, you've done this forever. I'm going to mess up this, that. I've grown to know that mistakes happen. Own it. Be yourself.
Hell yeah.
And just have fun. So sitting here, Jay, like I've told you too, you've just made 200. We started around the same time, but you were someone that we looked up to. And through your kind of just saying you're doing a good job, like, sweet, let's keep doing it. We've done it, and we've got to 200 now too, and we're going to keep on going. I don't think I'm ever going to stop this. I'll be 60 years old, still
oh,
going
yeah.
to cons,
Pod will never
still
want
to record stuff with my friends. Because it's just something fun to do. Whether we make money from it, whether we get sponsors from it, when we do everything else, that doesn't matter. That's secondary to just hanging out with some friends and recording our voices. And if people listen, sweet.
Yeah.
Imagine
absolutely.
The sweet audio equipment they'll have when we're 60 to be able to do this on.
It will be
know?
Able to broadcast straight out of our brains.
Oh,
the world.
Yeah, everything. Right? You don't even
know
have
if
to
they
talk.
Want to hear what I'm thinking. But.
Well, to bring it down to the other level, it's kind of weird. I have gotten a little used to doing a lot of moderation at shows and stuff. You know, I'm not quite as intimidated by the celebrity level as I would have been. But now it gets a little flipped on me. This individual here, Mr. Dave Patterson, behind us of the Dave's Nerd Compendium, another guy, you know, it's weird to say, I can't even say it now, but I helped inspire this guy to get his show going, and it's weird when you hear that, you know, I'll come all the way to Michigan from Toronto to have someone be like, oh, I love your show, man, it's like, what, you listen, someone listens, like, it is humbling, you know, it's a crazy experience, but like you say, it puts us all on the same level, you know, and for you to just be so easy, like, I'd love to talk to Mike Zapsik, tweet, oh, sure, let's do it, okay, good times, you know, it's,
yeah.
you know.
That's all it is,
yeah.
And if you don't ask, the answer is always no.
What do you mean? You got a TV show? You have a family? You have kids? You know? It's
I got
to spend
I got a couple
an hour
minutes.
On me is like crazy.
Not at
mind.
All. In your mind? Yeah. Well, get that out of your mind. We're good. Yeah. No,
yeah
it's,
more importantly, Mike, you got a voice. You got a voice. You're using that voice to
yeah,
podcast.
Yeah, we are. And we've got opinions, and we've got shit we want to say, and most of them are curses. So that's great.
Yeah,
that's
it works
good.
Out perfectly.
It's more authentic that way.
Well, I was kind of talking to you last night, Ming, about you know, it's hard when you must get asked to get your photo taken 1,000 times a day, and you're like, no, love it.
It's not that hard.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not that
See?
Hard.
Yes, thank you. You know, it's
this is not a difficult job,
yeah,
gentlemen.
Fighting
this
a war is hard. Fighting a fire is hard.
Right.
Fighting a fight is hard. This is not hard.
Well, how's it go as far as actual like just regular days working at the stash? How many people are like on in a day? Like all four of you guys aren't there every day, are you?
No, it's me and Walt mostly, and Ming pops in and out, you know, 5 days a week. So yeah, it's we go about our business and we do, you know, help people.
Yeah, but, yeah. And you got your awesome side projects, Cryptozoic Man and stuff. You know,
that had like, nothing to do with us. So even though Ming likes to suckle at that teat,
yeah, no,
I wouldn't have heard of it if it wasn't for you guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
probably,
right.
I might have, but.
Yeah,
I definitely did because of you guys.
Yeah,
you know?
The podcast and going to conventions; these are our side projects, and we
there
we
you
love
go,
them.
Yeah.
Right,
but yeah,
right.
otherwise you're, you got we're running a store.
Yeah,
we're running a retail outlet.
Right.
And I do have a couple of things that I have to do, like within the next 2 weeks, because I set myself a deadline. But we actually lost a member of the Ming and Mike podcast.
Right, yes.
Mark Costello, a good time fellow. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
he unexpectedly passed away. And we're kind of at a loss of, we'll soldier on, but his third seat's always going to be the third seat. It's his in perpetuity. You know, we might have people on to help out, you know, do some of the heavy lifting. So, but I made myself a deadline that I was going to finally finish up our book and record project that Ming and I have been talking about for 100,000 years.
I'm stoked for that. I had the Return of the Jedi 45 one.
Yes. All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to put that up on Kickstarter, and we're going to do there's another thing that we're supposed to do that I can't really talk about because it's our project per se, but has to do with a couple of other guys. Right. So,
as much as I want to keep this exciting, 200 episode good times, I cannot go without at least offering some condolences to the friends and family of Darwin Cook.
Yes.
We just heard the situation on Friday, and the very next day he's taken from us. So condolences. Guys got any memories or thoughts on his incredible work?
I loved his, God, where do you start? Batman Ego, that was great. Justice League New Frontier, redefining. I mean, that was in Elseworlds, but it was so Darwin Cook.
Yeah, he owned it.
I know. And, you can just see the love of the Silver Hat, the Silver Age that this man had. So, condolences to his
absolutely
family and friends.
So, we'll pep it up. What are you guys reading these days? What's got your, what's
well, a lot
your
of
boat?
Darwin Cook. let me just drag that down back into the sadness. But no,
Mike's just bent to keep this miserable, aren't you?
I'm on a, they just announced on Friday that Darth Vader is being canceled.
What?
Darth Vader from
I didn't
Marvel.
Hear that. The book's
being
great.
Canceled at number 25.
Is it not selling? Or?
No, it has nothing to do with the sales. It has to do with story arcs. And I'm like, what are you... Are you kidding me?
Yeah, surely you can keep this going. But.
It is one of the best comics out there.
Like,
bar none. It's better than like three-quarters of the Drek that's out there. So
what are they thinking? Like, it was a hard transition for me because I've been a Dark Horse kid for like as long as I can remember, since the early 90s. Like, I didn't come into Star Wars through the movies at all. They were just movies I'd heard of growing up. I saw Jedi, I liked the Ewoks, lightsabers were cool. But when I started reading the novels and they started coming out in the comics, I was like, this is the craziest story
ever. Yeah, Dark Empire.
So that's why I'm more excited for episode 8 than I was for 7, because there'll be some Jedi training, some temples, more Jedi stuff. So
oh, you're a Jedi guy.
Yeah, it's not
I'm
so much
Sith.
The movies. Just this Jedi Sith. You know, I like lightsabers, and Force Awakens had one that I'd already seen a million times and another weird one.
Yeah.
But it was a weird transition because that's 20 years of people's work. Like, the EU was so expansive.
Yeah.
Like, I think there was 40,000 years of history. And now they're like, done, start over. And I was very happy to see that it went well, most of it, and especially Darth Vader.
It was fantastic.
It was
the
so
perfect
good.
Bridge between A New Hope and whatever came after.
That's
so
disappointing. Yeah.
I guarantee you they'll come out with another series of it, but it will be then like the renumbered. Everyone will get geeked for it coming back again.
So that's such an obvious cash grab.
But it's what they've been doing in comic books for the last 10 years now of cancel, renumber.
Try the
this.
Last 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really does bum me out, man, because like I canceled all the other Star Wars on my poll list except for Darth Vader, and I didn't hear about that till just now.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You witnessed heartbreak right here.
And even the Star Wars book is like meh.
Yeah.
It's all right, but meh.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but that Vader was
if you weren't
deep.
Sucked into the Darth Vader comic from I think it's issue 1 where he lifts the stormtrooper up in front of him to block blaster fire.
Yeah.
That's what I mean, it was like This is amazing.
Yeah.
This is so amazing. And it's such a... Plus, it's like, it was kind of cool that they shared panels with the other run of Star Wars, you know, kind of back and forth. But
well, that's what I was... The one thing cool about Star Wars when it started, I went right off the bang, you're on Endor, and then all of a sudden there's Green Squadron.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, Han, we're not done. There's still a bunch of guys hiding behind that moon over there, and it just keeps rolling. It's not like 2 months later, 3 months later, the story just kept going.
Yep.
You know, which was one of the big problems I had with throwing out a lot of the canon, some of it still fit. Like the original Tartakovsky cartoon, the Clone Wars, that were like the 2 minutes. The end, how Mace Windu crushes Grievous's chest, and that's why in the beginning of Revenge of the Sith, he's like, because the cartoon literally goes into it.
Yeah.
And Darth Plagueis, the novel, which is my favorite all time. I don't know if you've read it, but it's it's absolutely amazing. If you like Darth Maul, his whole life story is in it. And it's really cool.
I don't, but
at the same time as Sith Phantom Menace, and it actually improves the movie a little, even though it's hard to think that's possible. But, you know, it was... That's how it was, and it worked out. It was cool, man. Yeah. So, I don't know. It's confusing for me.
Did you guys read the C-3PO book?
Yeah. I got the red arm.
Just to find out about the red arm and stuff.
I read it.
It was interesting that they went that route to explain something that was the most, well, one of the most what the fuck's with that red arm that you're seeing in the movie, that they went to the comic books to kind of give that story away. I personally, as a comic book fan, thought that's excellent. I want to see more cross-promotion in things and tie it all together. And it was actually interesting. I did like that book, and it was I like nice and closed stories, knowing that it's going to be like a 5-part issue or 4-part issue, and just knowing, okay, I can get it all pretty quickly, and it doesn't have to run its course and then fade out to nowhere. But just seeing if you guys read that and what you thought about that one.
Yeah, it was a great story. It just really tightly written one issue story, and get a little more insight into it. What goes through the minds of all the different droids that we've seen in all 7 movies.
Yeah, and like how they feel and how their emotion is, and are they just reprogrammed half the time?
Right, and what their roles are in the universe. It's really cool.
I don't know, you said something about crossovers. Did you notice the crossover in like Darth Vader 5?
No.
They had the Chitauri ships.
Oh, yeah.
Those living things. They're flying around in there.
They
it's like
those, weren't they?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
They can do that now.
Yeah, he said.
Yeah.
He's like, wow, this is really... Dr. Aphra's like, wow, this is really cool. He's like, yes, if you prefer monstrosities. Mm. And it's like, yeah, all right. We're going to see him in the Avengers. I would love to see Darth Vader take on the Avengers.
Oh, Darth Vader comes down, takes out Iron Man.
So what are you guys' feelings on the Rebirth situation?
I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I'm hoping that Geoff Johns has that vision. You know, we haven't seen him in, writing a lot of DC comics for a while because he's doing the creative control thing. Yeah. And I'm hoping that Rebirth, you know, kicks everything off. And there are going to be times when stories suck. It's just part of, like, the cycle of life, I suppose.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're going to reboot with number ones again, except for Detective,
except for, like, Detective
and
Action.
And Action. Yeah. Which is kind of cool when you think about the continuity, how long ago it goes. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have a creative team, and I've said this on I Sell Comics so many times that people get sick of hearing it. You know what? If you're DC and you're number two, be number one by grabbing creative teams, signing them on for a year, and saying, listen, unless we come back and we both agree to continue... You're done after a year.
Right. Yeah, it makes sense. It's a smarter move, you know? I mean, I liked the new 52. I didn't like all of it. You know, I think you guys would know better than I, working in the shop, if it was a good shot in the arm or not for the industry. But
at the beginning, of course.
Yeah, it was good. Because there was, you know, not everything was great, but I really liked Justice League, and it gave us Capullo Snyder, one of the most insanely cool runs in the history of comics. It's You guys, I've heard you talk about it. You guys enjoyed the series.
I love them both. They're
sad
great.
Sad to see it end, man.
Yeah, well,
glad he's sticking on Batman, though. Capullo's going to keep going. Snyder's going to stick on it.
He's going to be on All-Star Batman. So.
Yeah, right. That's
but,
exciting.
I mean, I just want to get people in there who know how to draw, who know how to write, and not do this, like, whole, you know, Superman's got blue jeans and a T-shirt. Superman's got this. Superman's, you know... Superman.
Yeah.
If you're gonna start over from scratch, then start over from freaking scratch. Everybody. You can't keep the Green Lantern Corps as the Green Lantern Corps.
Okay. Yeah.
Start back from square one, where it's like year one and everybody's learning how to use their powers or learning how to be not quite a dick.
Sure, yeah. I love the Flashpoint Paradox.
And they made it's fantastic, but they made a really big mistake. They had 52 titles to play with. Why not make each one of those their own separate universe and only cross over for very specific things?
That's
the 52 and there are 52 universes out there.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that's right? Something they could have tried, you know? I love that, because people always get upset at, like, one version of something. Like, you know, the whole Batman versus Superman debacle. But most people seem to like Batman. But I'm like, just wait 5 years and you're going to get three more different versions.
Of course.
Like, you know, how many Batmans has there been? It's countless.
Here's another thing. How about Detective Comics is Batman from the 30s and... Yeah. You know, Batman is Batman in the 70s or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You got like 400 Batman titles out there.
Yeah.
Each one of them gets their own universe. You've got a different Batman out there doing something.
Well, I think that's DC's strongest thing, actually, is that they have the multiverse and they can do things like, you know, like Flashpoint. And
but they
even
don't.
For the shows. I know. That's like, how do you have this awesome device that you're just not taking enough advantage of, you know? And it's hard for me because I'm a DC kid.
Yeah,
I've always been a DC kid. Like, I like Marvel, but DC has always been it for me, you know? My first comic book was a Green Lantern Corps comic book.
Okay.
And that and an Archie book for the drive to the cottage when I was like 5 or 6.
Sure, yeah.
That's how I got into comics, you know? So it's always that special place in my heart for that stuff, you know? But I'm looking forward to Rebirth, you know? Something new again, I guess. But,
I am too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good starting point, especially if you're coming in, you know, coming back into comics.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Where do we start? There's all this, issue 47. Like, no. Here's a starting point for you.
Right. Know? Well, you've been getting more into comics. It's been newer for you because you had that time out, as a lot of people do, you know?
Yeah.
How has this been getting back into these exciting stories and stuff?
It's cool. I mean, I find myself doing a lot of pick and choose. I can't take in on everything. I tried. It doesn't work.
Right.
You know, I got brought into comics, you know, being young by Spawn, issue 5, Billy Kincaid, you know, the Ice Cream Man story. And that was like the coolest, darkest thing I've ever seen, especially at that age. So, I started reading Spawn like crazy and then getting into other comics. And then, you know, I started dating girls and I stopped reading comics, you know. And
I thought you were going to a darker place. Now, I started dating Spawn.
Mike, how long have you been married?
I've been married for 16 years.
Okay, so when did you know her long before you started dating or...
I knew her for about it. We started dating after we knew each other about 6 months.
Okay, did she know what she was getting into?
Yeah, we actually met because of comic books.
Okay, that's cool.
We
so
met,
she's a
we
fan.
Became friends. We both had. She had been married before, so she was going through a divorce, and she's like, I don't want to make the same mistake I made before, and so we were just friends until she's like. Now we're not friends anymore. So
yeah. Whenever she let you know.
Yeah, exactly. Well. Yeah. Ever
so
meet my wife?
Fan? She's still a reader. Or?
She just got into Promethea.
Okay,
raising the kids and working and all sorts of stuff has kind of made it really tough for her to be a fan. Still, she was a huge fan of the X-Men. So you know, especially the cartoon got her back into it.
Right. That did a lot. People loved that cartoon.
Yeah.
I think I was a tad old at the time. Same thing with Power Rangers. This guy's a Power Rangers freak. He lives Power Rangers. I thought it was the cheesiest thing I'd ever seen.
It's very cheesy,
time.
But you can never be too old for the X-Men TV show.
No.
Yeah. The animated series. Possible. No.
What was Batman animated series for me?
That's the greatest cartoon.
And
a whole other page.
Yeah,
around the same time.
Yeah.
Not too much different.
Did you guys see the trailer for The Killing Joke that just came out? A little weirder than I expected as far as the animation style.
I'm actually excited about it being that weird.
Yeah. Like, I knew they'd go with it. Not surprised they got the R. But then when I actually saw the style, it's like, that's not quite in keeping with what they've been doing at Warner Brothers.
No, but I dig it.
I think it's cool. You like it?
Yeah.
That's the way they... Go ahead, what?
I was just going to say, I'm interested to see the scene where when he buys the you know fairground and he's got that thing sticking out of his hand and poisons the dude. Like, that's the one scene that I'm really looking forward, because that grin, you know, after he does that, you're like, oh, this is good.
Well, that's why I'm so stoked for, that's always been my Joker, the absolute lose it maniac, like
crazy
Joker. And I did prefer Nicholson to Ledger. I did not like Ledger. Like, Heath Ledger was
brilliant.
Yeah. But Jack, like, he, like, you know how the line, wait till they get a load of me, is the famous line?
Yep.
That's not the part that gets me. He's got the newspaper, and he says, wait till they get a load of me. And he puts the newspaper down, and he just starts looking around the room going, oh,
oh,
oh. And you're like, what the fuck? I think that's a little more we're going to get from Leto. I'm not a huge fan of the I like the tattoos, not the damaged on the forehead.
Yeah,
but I like... the visuals we've seen from Suicide. And,
like, I'm not a big fan of it. I don't like the grill. I don't like the tattoos.
Because the grill's not great.
Do you honestly think that the Joker would just sit there and get tattoos? No, he wouldn't.
Are you still thinking he's the true Joker?
Yeah. No, he might be Jason Todd.
Jason Todd Joker.
Oh, you think they might do that? So.
It's a theory. It's a theory.
Wow, that's, that could make sense.
Yeah, Batman Begins, or the Batman Beyond.
Yeah.
Yep.
Some of the imagery, though, like when he's got the tux on, you see the one part where he's got the tux?
I'm not excited for Suicide Squad.
Really?
No, not even a little bit.
I'm kind of stoked for it, you know? It's, what is it about it? Too dark? Too gringy? Too what?
I don't know. I think it's about...
I think it's too hot topic for Mike Zapsik for his taste.
Oh, man. You were so lucky you're not sitting next to me because I completely missed that. So.
No, I said it's too hot topic for you.
They are hot topic. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's very like inclusive because, I mean, my Deadshot and a lot of people's Deadshot, he's a bitter white guy.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been Ben Affleck from, Paycheck
or Days and Confused
one of those guys.
Ben Affleck, yes.
And now it's Will Smith because, we have to be inclusive.
Because Hollywood.
Yeah, and because of Hollywood. I don't think that he's a terribly great actor.
That was Mr. Ostrander's one point to it. He's very much looking forward to it, but he thinks the biggest change they've made is with that character.
Okay.
He's like, he doesn't quite, I like Will Smith. I think he'll be fine. Not quite the character I designed or envisioned, but,
He's a bitter white guy who's like, I don't care about anything. And the only time I feel alive is when I'm about to be killed.
Yeah.
So, and...
It's so frustrating.
Does Will Smith actually have that about him? Not even a little bit.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's so frustrating being a DC fan and wanting it to be so good, wanting the cinematic universe to work so well, and it just not getting there. What are we doing?
2 minutes. No, I'm just making sure.
10 minutes?
Yeah.
Very good. Cool. So, we want it so bad. I'm dying for some, not that I didn't hate Batman versus Superman. I completely understand everybody's problems with it. It had major problems, but I have to admit, just
Martha.
The two bat scenes. Well, the two bat scenes were enough for my money.
Yeah.
You know, when the light goes by and he's up in the corner.
Yeah.
And then the saving Martha scene, that alone for me was like, so please let Affleck.
Yeah, that
was
great.
It's so weird that we're like, Affleck. Please save us.
Martha should have died in that movie.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
Who's saying it?
Martha should have died in that movie.
Which Martha?
Superman's Martha.
Oh, wait, because the other Martha was already dead.
She was already gone,
she probably would have been cut down by Crossfire, absolutely. Yeah. But my whole thing is they could have cleaned that up. Just save my mother. How about just, it doesn't even have to say save Martha.
Yeah.
How about just save my mom?
Yeah.
Because that would have gotten him in the gut, same as, your mom's name's Martha, too?
Civil War, he killed my mom. Not he killed my mother. It's the way he says he killed my mom. You're shit.
Like, it's a lot.
Tony's broke.
He killed my mom.
Tony's broke in half right now.
I was so Team Cap going into that movie.
Me too.
Until that happened.
We
and he has
over.
Bucky, and he's do you even remember them? Like, I'm like, I'm all Team Tony right now.
Absolutely. Well, you thought it was all wrapped up nicely, and they're friends, and then he sees the video, you're like,
here it comes.
Oh, no.
But when he says, do you remember? And he says, I remember them all.
I remember them all.
But then just, you could see the anguish in his face.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I remember them all. Like, I didn't want to do this.
Right.
Yeah. It's
and Tony above all of them should know about that.
What I thought was crazy, and I only know this because I when I came home from watching that, FX was playing all the movies, and I watched Captain America: The First Avenger.
Uh-huh.
The part where they're at the Stark convention, okay, and you have Bucky and Cap, who's not Cap yet, watching Howard Stark, who then later creates Captain America and is killed by Bucky. You see what I'm saying? I was blown when I started thinking about that.
Yeah,
you know?
It goes around, man.
Still didn't touch on any of Phineas Horton. That's the thing that the man of the future. I was like, come on, where's the Human Torch?
No, you got to. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, they can't use it because of Fantastic Four. So
at least they've got the chance to put Spidey in there and did it well, right? I mean, how strong they made him look was the best thing about it.
Yeah.
I know the quips were funny and everything, but. you know, they made a point to make Spidey look strong. Like, this is a whole other level. We're going to a whole other level
here.
Well,
that's the thing, though. So, that whole movie, all the characters seemed real, though, where Batman vs. Superman, they felt cardboard. They felt just their
one
name.
One note.
Yeah, and that's where I have... Even Man of Steel felt a bit that way, and I am actually one of the few people that kind of enjoyed how Man of Steel ended with him actually killing Zod. Like, that was actually something that felt real. I don't care who you are. I understand Superman's, like, you know, the perfect, you know, Boy Scout. But first time coming into powers and this killer guy, I think you're going to actually maybe kill the guy to stop him. And that was the first real thing that I felt in a Warner Brothers DC movie. And then now it's, it's back to what it is. And that's where
for
Marvel,
sure,
they do it good.
Good times and good talks. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot thank you out there enough for supporting this show. 200 episodes. Thank you, Dave. We're going to keep bringing them. I ain't stopping. This mouth is far too loud, and this brain is far too full of crap that it needs to spit out. So we're going to keep bringing it at you. Tony, Derek, drunkoncomics.com. Everybody go check it out. It's been an amazing journey to do this with you guys.
Love
all
you,
along
Jay.
The way. Thank you
Going
for all your support. You know, Jimmy, same thing. Hasn't been long, brother, but it's been a journey already and an adventure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ming, thank you for being so for the little guy, so for us, and just being willing to help out. And,
I am the little guy.
I got to represent what I am.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, no, congratulations. Yeah. Seriously.
Thank you, man. And, of course, all the way from the beginning, some kid in his basement on his laptop, Michael Zapsik. Thank you so much, sir.
My pleasure, man.
Yeah.
Keep on rocking.
I cannot believe I'm about to say this, but kids, for episode 200 of An Elegant Weapon...
The Chromium cover.
That's all we're going to have this week.
The Drunken Ninja Weapon
podcast in the D with Ming Chen, special guest, blah, whatever
Chromium
it was.
Cover.
Kids, I love you all. We'll be back next week. Ray Park, bitches. Take it easy.
That's a show.
Guys, thank you. Thank you. I need a picture of you fellas.
Sorry, Ming, that's a small...
This is a previously recorded episode.